in this scripture. The Bible said in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the book, into the lake of fire." You'd be seated. And let's pray together. Father, we realize this morning that we're treading upon holy ground. And Lord, we realize today that we're facing something here in the Word of God that some in this building may face personally. Thank you, Lord, that this judgment will not hold anything for us who have been redeemed. But God, I pray this morning those that might be facing this or will face it, I pray that they might take into consideration, Lord, the escape from this awful judgment. We'll give you the praise and the glory. I pray that you would touch the hearts, soften the souls, penetrate the mind. Lord, take everything away from us that might hinder us from hearing the message. Lord, give us the unction from heaven and drive it home to the hearts and lives of every man, woman, boy, and girl in this building. And may they hear the voice of God and not the voice of man. And Lord, may the Word of God find a lodging place today. May the Holy Ghost of God stir up the soul and stir up the mind. Lord, do a work in the heart, and we'll give you the praise and the glory, for it's in Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen. I want to talk about the judgment here that's listed, and it's called the Great White Throne Judgment. There are several judgments in the Bible. Some said there were seven. If you look at them, you can probably find one or two that you know, and I'm not going to put any limit on what they are, but I know some judgments that are going to take place, some that have taken place, and some that are taking place today. First of all, I want to say that there's the judgment of sin. Thank God, God has already judged sin. And He took it to the cross, and on the cross of Calvary became sin, that I could be set free. He became my sin. He took my place. He not only took my place, but He took your place. Amen. Aren't you glad of that? I'm glad what He said was, just move over, and I'll take your place on Calvary. When He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," He was talking about me. Brother, I'm glad there on the cross of Calvary, He became sin, went to the grave and rose on the third day, and victorious over death, hell, and the grave, over sin. I want you to know He's victorious over it, and He judged sin on the cross. Then we study the Bible and find out that there's a judgment of sin in our lives. We judge ourselves. Brother, the Bible said we judge ourselves lest we be judged. Brother, we'd do a good to judge ourselves and quit judging others this morning and search our own hearts, and that's what we're to do in this present world. Then we know that there's going to be a judgment seat of Christ when all the saints of God will stand before the Holy God. And God will open the books just like He does here. And Brother, God will judge us according to deeds done in our body, whether they be good or bad. And if there's anything that would suffer the fire and I can get through it, Brother, we'll be rewarded for that. That's found in the book of 1 Corinthians. We go on, we'll find out that God's going to judge the nations. He's going to judge the devil. He's going to judge the wicked angels, if you will. And then we find this morning in Revelation chapter number 20 that He's going to judge the wicked dead. And that's what I want to look at as we study this scripture. And the Bible said, and take your Bible and look at this verse by verse. And a few words out of each verse, and I pray that God might help us. In verse 11, the Bible said, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. The first word I'd like to notice this morning is the word great, if you will. He saw a great throne. He saw a great throne. Amen. Looking at that, that word comes from the word, the Greek word megas, M-E-G-A-S, which simply just means intense, majestic, or powerful. Brother, this is going to be a powerful judgment when God is going to judge the wicked, those who have refused Him, those who are lost. Now, this will not be a judgment of the saved. The saved, brother, is not here. We find that this are those who have refused the Lord Jesus Christ. And just to be there, you found yourself in the wrong place. Now, if you're not saved by the grace of God, there's a great possibility that you could stand right before this throne in verse 11 one day and hear the words of the eternal judge. Out of this throne, you'll find three things. You'll find a judge. And then you'll find the ones that are judged. And then you'll find the judgment. And you can't argue with them at all. Amen? You'll not be able to argue with the judge. You'll not be able to argue with the justice. And neither will you be able this morning to argue with the judgment. Amen? And you'll have to say amen to your own condemnation at this great white throne judgment. So that word great comes from majestic. I want you to know this is the highest court of the land, if you will, or the highest court, I should say, of the universe. If this judgment, as you see this and taking place, there is no appeals. Nothing can be done to change that. It will be a final verdict, and nothing can be done to change that throughout all eternity. Amen. And whatever the verdict is, it will lay there. Brother, it will be there. And brother, the judgment will be finished, and the judgment will be. It won't be like the courts of our land today, that you give a judgment and 20 appeals be made, and then finally overruled and give life, amen, instead of death. I want you to know this morning, when God says that you're going to hell, you're going to hell, amen. And brother, God will not, cannot, and should not change His mind. The Word of God is true, amen. So He talks about the word great just for a minute. The second word I want you to notice is the word white. That word white comes from the Greek word which means bright. It means brilliant. It means splendor. It means purity. And brother, let me tell you, brother, our courts today may have some crooked dealings. It may have some crooked leaders. It may have some crooked judges. It may have some crooked attorneys. But I want to tell you, this will be the first and the last judgment. Will be the last, not the first, but the last judgment that's going to be given to mankind. And brother, God's judgment will be a righteous judgment. It will be a just judgment, and brother, there's nothing can be done to alter the course of what God says that flows from His mouth. We are talking about the great white throne judgment, the judgment of the unbeliever. Amen? Now, I want you to notice something in this Scripture. The judge is not mentioned. His name is not called. Not in this Scripture, but I'm going to give you some Scriptures that tells us who it is. Amen. Who are you going to face? You're not going to face the judge of the land. You're not going to face the Supreme Court. By the way, the Supreme Court's made up, what, 9 judges? Amen. You think about that. But brother, this is made up of one judge. Amen. With the final authority. And the authority is going to be right. Brother, when He says it's going to be done, God means what He says and says what He means. And brother, there's no altars. Nothing to alter His influence or whatever He says. Won't you turn your Bible, please, to the book of John, chapter 5. I want to find out who this judge is. In John chapter 5, I want us to go down, please, to verse number 22. And the Bible said, in John 5, 22, the Gospel of John, please. He said, chapter 5, verse 22, "For the Father judgeth no man." So we know it's not going to be God the Father. "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto thee." Say it with me. Who?
the Son. That means that this judge is going to be none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, whom they crucified on Calvary, who they stripped of His raiment and put on false garments and looked and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." The one that they put the crown of thorns on. The one they cut the blood out of the back of. The one that they said, "Hey, he's crying for Elias." I would listen. It's the one that was crucified, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in John chapter 5, go down to verse number 23. The Bible said that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent Him. In verse number 23. Then going on down to verse number 27. The Bible said, and hath given Him what? What?
Authority.
Given Him authority. To what?
Execute.
Execute what? Judgment, also because He is the Son of Man. Now go to verse number 30. The Bible said, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. You notice that? I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Now take your Bible, please, and go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, if you will. Brother, we'll find the church epistles, and he's given us something to tell us in 2 Timothy. And we'll get to 2 Timothy. We'll look at chapter number 4 and verse number 1. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1 said, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall what? Judge the quick. The quick is the alive. And he said, and the dead, that's those that are at the judgment bar that we're talking about this morning, and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Brother, let me tell you, Jesus is the judge that's on this throne. No, His name is not given in the book of Revelation, but God has revealed it to us throughout the Word of God. Thank God we know who that judge is. Now, can I tell you this morning, there is no hiding from this judge. Look at verse 11, chapter 20 again of Revelation. He said, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. I'm reminded of Revelation chapter 6, when the tribulation hour sets in and the things are taking place, that they run to the mountains and the rocks and they say, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him. Brother, let me tell you something. This is going to be an awesome, this is going to be an awful, this is going to be a terrible, and it's going to be a bright, I want to tell you, a time that, brother, nobody wants to face, and that's a great white throne judgment. And brother, I want to tell you this morning, thank God there is a remedy that you don't have to go there. You can be just like me and never have to face this judgment. Let me tell you something. I appreciate the fact to know this morning that I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm also alarmed and also concerned and also reminded that Jesus says that one day we're going to face God in a judgment. But I'm not going to stand at the great white throne judgment. I'm going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Brother, I'm glad that I got that privilege. And I'm glad I'm going to bypass this one. And we'll prove that as we go through this scriptures and looking at it. I pray this morning, if you're headed to this great white throne judgment, that you'll get turned around, that you'll allow God to change your course. Amen. I can rejoice this morning that I'm not going to have to stand before the judgment here in Revelation chapter 20. Now I want to remind you something. I want to back up just a minute. And let's go back to Revelation chapter 4. I'm just preaching this from my heart. Amen. Don't even have any notes whatsoever. Just taking my Bible and looking at these things. And brother, I'll tell you what. We ought to look and see what the Scripture says in Revelation chapter number 4. Look at Revelation chapter 4. Now John is on the Isle of Patmos for a testimony for the Word of God. They didn't like him. They put him off over there and thought they'd get rid of that rascal. He'd been doing enough of preaching to them, causing problems and confusion to some of them, and getting them under conviction, and they weren't comfortable with it, so they put him out on the Isle of Patmos and said, just help yourself now. And so the Holy Spirit, brother, came down one day on the Lord's day, and he got in wrapped up in the Spirit of God. God got all over him, and he got all in God, and all of a sudden he began to see things he had never seen before. He gives some messages to seven churches in Asia, and then he gets to chapter number 4. He says this, after this, what? After all the churches. He said, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Get the facts. And he said, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Now notice, John is seeing a throne. If you'll read on down, you'll find out that there's 24 and 20 elders that have fallen before this throne. The 4 and the 20 elders represent two things. 12 of them represent the Old Testament saints, and 12 of them represent the New Testament saints. Amen. Brother, we'll talk about the 12 tribes of Israel. Brother, that's as a whole. That's the Jewish people. We talk about the 12 apostles. That's the Gentiles. Of course, they were Jews too. But I want to tell you, it represents the New Testament believers. So at this throne, they fall down before it. But notice this throne, before they bow before that throne, they see a throne that's got a rainbow around about it. And brother, it isn't like in sight to an emerald. Emeralds are green color. That's the most pleasant color to your eyes. Brother, there is that rainbow. Brother, what's the rainbow represent in the Bible? Go back to the book of Genesis. God put the rainbow in the sky after He had already He had destroyed the earth by water. And He told Noah, said, every time you see that rainbow, I saw one the other morning. Did you? Amen. I saw a little pretty rainbow. I reminded myself, every time I see a rainbow, I think about God saying He's not going to destroy the earth by water again. Amen. Now, we may have a few floods, and we have had. But I want to tell you, God will not destroy the earth by water. But I do have a record in the Bible that He said, one day, after a while, He's going to melt the elements. Brother, He's going to burn it up with fire, and there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Amen? That's Bible. And so here's what's happened. Brother, God put the rainbow up, and every time old Noah looked up in the air, he said, I got a promise. God ain't going to do this again. And brother, all down to the Bible, the rainbow means that there is a covenant made between us and God that He will not destroy. Brother, that means there's mercy. That's mercy. So when they see this rainbow around the throne, here in chapter number 4, and the saints of God are going to stand there. And I believe this is where the judgment seat of Christ will take place. And we can get into 1 Corinthians and find out all that, but we're not dealing with that judgment this morning. But I want to tell you, as I stand before you, what God says to us believers is we'll look there and stand there, and we're going to be in the mercy of God. We'll only be at the judgment seat of Christ because of His mercy. We deserve to go to hell, but His mercy stepped in. Amen. You look down on my record this morning. Pull the books open in glory, if you will, and can. And brother, pull my name up. You know what you're going to see? Down by my name, it's going to say, see Calvary and the resurrection. Thank God I'm glad this morning that I've been saved by His grace. I've been redeemed by His blood. And I'm glad, thank God, I'm going to heaven when I die because I got the promise of God in my heart. Because I received Him and He's received me. He washed away my sin. He moved in. The devil moved out, and I'm a brand new creature in Christ Jesus my Lord. Amen. Let me get my breath. We'll take off again. Amen. Listen, I like this, but I see a rainbow. I see a rainbow round about the throne. You see that? When I look at this great white throne, there is no rainbow. There is no rainbow. In chapter 20 and verse number 12, he said this, and I saw the dead, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. A lot of people's got a lot of things. I've studied this for years, and I've read after different people, different commentators. Some, I believe, know what this is talking about, and some, I believe, was just like I was when I was looking. They didn't know. Amen. And I believe the Holy Spirit's the only one who can give us direction in the Scriptures because He pinned it down. But it said here, and I saw the dead. That is not talking about, he's talking about the wicked dead. He's also talking about those who had a standing and a say in life. We want to look at the crowd here just for a minute, and then we'll look at something else. First of all, we find the dead, small and great. That's the high ups and the low downs. Amen. That's the big shots and the little shots. That's those that thought they had a place in life and they as prominent, and those who didn't know or didn't think that they had anything. That means the rich and the poor are going to stand before God. It don't make no difference what nationality. It don't make no difference what kind of creed you cried out with. It don't make no difference what kind of status you had in life. If you're not saved, you're going to stand before this great white throne judgment. And he go on, he says this, and the books were open. I could just go on to talk about who those are. Amen. The celebrities, the Hollywood stars. Amen. Then the country boys and girls don't know Christ. They'll be there too. And we could talk about that wicked crowd that you're going to have to stand before or stand with. But notice what he says. He said, and the books were open. That word book doesn't say book. It had books. It had an S on it. That means it's plural, more than one. And another book was open, which is the book of life. Now, I don't know all the books that can be opened and will be opened there. I've heard some commentators say this and then this and then this and then this one, and give me all kinds of things, and they'll say, I believe this, and I think that. But I want to tell you something. It's not what I think. And it's not what I want to put in my mind. It's what the Bible says. And so I'm not going to give you all that I think this morning of these books, but I'm going to give you the books that you can take, I believe, and know that they're there that you can use. Put this down, the books. Let's talk about what books is going to be done. Number one, the Bible is the book. That's one of them. Amen. You're going to be judged by the book, the Bible. You said, how do you know that? Take your Bible and go to John chapter 12. Go to John chapter number 12. Brother, isn't it amazing? John has given us a whole lot of things about this morning. In John chapter number 12, and I want to read one verse out of John chapter 12, and it's found in verse number 48. I'll give you time to get there. Jot this down. Make sure you know this. When an unbeliever talks to you, read what the Bible says to them. Here's what God said in the book of John chapter 12 and verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the, what's that? Last day. See, I believe the Bible will be open at the judgment here of the great white throne. Amen. I believe that same book will be open at the judgment seat of Christ too as well. We are going to be judged by this book. This book that the unbeliever has despised. This book that the unbeliever has rejected. This book that the world and the unbeliever has said, away with it. I want none of it. I will not heed it. I will not hear it. I don't want any part of it. This book that they have rejected in this life will be open before them at this judgment here, and God will judge them according to words out of this book. People don't like this book today, but this is the book you'll be judged by down yonder. It's not going to be the law book off of the shelf of some courthouse or some lawyer's office or off the desk or off the wall of some judge. Brother, it's going to be the judge of the universe. God Almighty, the sovereign God through the Christ child. I want to tell you, it's going to take the book of God. This is His Word. And He's going to judge you, not according to what I think, not to what you think, but according to what He said in the Word of God. You're going to be judged by this book. Amen. Now, you can get any idea you want, but I want to tell you, you're going to be judged by this book. That's the first book going to be open. Now, another book. Now, you say, preacher, what do you want to call it? I don't know what I'll call it. But I'll tell you this much. There is a book, and I call it a book of deeds. You can call it what you want to. But there is a book of deeds or a book of record. We call it the record book. Did you know God knows how to keep records? Did you know tonight or this morning that there's not anything that God has ever forgotten? Do you know that? Do you know that there's not a thing? You've already forgot thousands of things in your life. You've forgot multitudes, millions of things since you've been a baby and a boy or girl. But brother, God has never forgot one little thing. He knows where the dots are for the I's and the crosses for the T's. He's never let nothing slide by Him. Amen. But I want you to know, I believe God has a book of remembrance. Because He said He's going to open the books here. Now, did you know this? As a child of God, I can give you some scripture out of the 4th, 5th chapter of the book of Revelation that God said when we pray, our prayers are even bottled up in bottles. Amen. It's going to be pitiful for some of you saints. You stand before the throne of God and God gets your bottle, shakes it 3 or 4 times, pop the cork off of it, brother, nothing fall out. Amen. Some of you prayer warriors been doing some praying for God down through the years. Brother, it's going to be like it's been pumped full of something. Brother, pop up squamming prayers everywhere. Amen. That's your choice now, but that's off the subject. Let's get back on the great white throne judgment. Here we are. We'll see, brother, that God has got it. You said, I don't believe that God keeps a record. Well, can I remind you of something? Just read with me. Look with me, please, in verse number 12. Would you go down to the bottom part of that little verse and read with me those last 4 words of verse number 12? What does it say? According to their works. What do you think those works are? God has got them in His book. Brother, God knows what you've done, when you've done it. Amen. And God will bring you. You done forgot some of the wicked deeds you've thought up in your mind. But God knows every old wicked thought. God knows every old wicked deed. Them little secret sins that nobody knows nothing about. God got that in the book. Brother, He's going to open the books of this judgment. And brother, He's going to bring it out before you. You're going to be condemned. Amen. To this place. You're already under condemnation. And then God is going to judge you. Now God said something else. Go down to verse number 13. In verse 13, to verse 13. And would you read with me the last 4 words of verse 13? What does it say? According to their works. So you got that, have you not? Amen. Amen and amen. I praise the Lord for it. Now I want you to do something else. Would you turn back in your Bible to the book of 2 Corinthians? In 2 Corinthians, please. We're going to the second epistle of Corinthians. And when we get to 2 Corinthians, we're going to chapter 11. Now this 11th chapter, 2 Corinthians, is always talking about, or not always, but the place I'm fixing to go to, is talking about Satan and the ministers of light and so forth. But I want you to go to verse 13 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He said, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." Now he's talking about those false teachers and they're transformed themselves into the apostles of Christ. They look good, they sound good, and people take them for them. But the Bible said in verse 14, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." Amen. He throws away his pitchfork, shaves off and cuts off his tail, amen, and he saws off his horns, puts on a suit, and sprays a little hairspray on, and puts his tie and goes down to the house of God. Amen. And said, "I'm your preacher." Amen. That's what he does. Now in verse number 15, he says, "Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as a ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be." What is this last 4 words? "According to their works." Brother, I'll tell you what, it's the same with the devil. And brother, we'll find out over here in the book of Revelation that the Lord's going to open that book. And brother, He's going to take that book of records and He's going to read to you what it says. And you're going to be judged according to your works. Not according to what mama done, not according to what daddy done, not according to what your wife done, not according to what your kids did, but you're going to be judged according to your works, what you've done. Brother, God is going to reward you, or He's going to doom you according to your works, whichever. You with me? All right. Let's look at something else. We'll see something. I said that there's the Bible. Then there's the book of remembrance. But there's another book here. People have a problem with this one. We're going to use our Bible and go through it. The Bible talks about these things. The Bible, then the book of deeds or the book of remembrance. But in the verse 11 or verse 12, he said, "And another book was opened, which is the" what? "Book of life. Everybody said, what in the world is the book of life? Well, let's just look at the Bible references. The best way I can find out how to search the Scriptures and get it right is to compare Scripture with Scripture. Let's go to Philippians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Amen. We'll get to Galatians, Ephesians, and then to Philippians. And we'll get to Philippians. Let's read chapter 4 and verse number 3. And let's kind of get our idea of what this book of life is. A lot of the saints of God are all hung up on this. Church members have been going to church for years and don't know what the book of life is. The Bible said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in," now what's that next three or four words? "The book of life." The book of life is where the saints of God are recorded. You got me? Amen. You said, well, that don't prove nothing yet. All right, hang on. Amen. For you it's hard to understand, and for you folks it's got to have more than... I mean, there's some folks God say it one time, and that wouldn't be good enough. Matter of fact, there have been a few things in the Bible that have been said only one time, and you won't take it because it's just said once. When God beats you over the head with 15 times, you start trying to think about believing it. If it's been in there 100 times, you might give it a little bit more consideration, but when it's about every chapter, it still has a hard time for you to understand. When God says something one time, that's all He needs to say it. How many times? Amen. Now we're trying to play with God like we play with our kids. We tell them 100 times to stop it. We're going to beat the devil out of them. Amen. And the devil's still with them, and we ain't got him beat out yet, and they're still doing what they're doing because we've just been lying to them. That's another subject. All right? Now, the second place I want you to look at is Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. And when you get to chapter 3 of the book of Revelation, I want you to look at verse 5. In chapter 3 and verse 5 of the Revelation, He said, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the" what? "Book of life." Amen. Why? Because he's a believer. He's believers are overcomers. Now, brother, I'll tell you what, I get to going across this thing. Somebody said he used to be a believer, but he's not a believer anymore. Believers are overcomers. And if you don't overcome, you become a stumbling block and God takes you out of here. And this bunch that used to be believers 25 years ago, taught Sunday school, and ain't been church in 25 years, hey, they didn't get it. Their name wasn't in the book. God's not sitting on the throne of God this morning with a big eraser that He got down at Office Pro and erases off names today and adds them back tomorrow and erases them off again the next day and adds them back tomorrow. You're either in the book or not in the book. You may think you're in the book, not in there. That's dangerous. But if you know you're in the book, thank God, shout. You ought to raise your head back and holler, "Glory to God, I'm glad I'm saved." All right. Revelation chapter 17, verse 8. Revelation chapter 17, verse 8. I'm going to take my time to do these because I believe we need to do it. There's so much confusion about this. In Revelation chapter 17, verse 8, the Bible said, "The beast that thou sawest was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life." These names are not written in the book of life. These are unbelievers. Amen. You see that? All right, let's go on. I'm not taking time for all this, but in chapter number 20 and verse 15, the Bible said, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." If your name's in the book of life, brother, you are fireproof. If your name's in the book of life, brother, you have a ticket to bypass hell. Amen. And the lake of fire. But if you're not saved this morning, your name's not in that book of life. Now go with me. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 19, The Bible said in chapter 22, verse 19, "And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." That does not mean that God goes up there and races a name. It just means those who are changing the Word of God are not even saved to start with. Amen. Amen. Who wants to tamper with God's Word? Not me. I believe it. I'm saved. You with me? Unbelievers are those who tamper with the Word of God. Brother, we could draw a thin line here. Brother, we come to the place we put our arms around people all over the world, but we need to be at the place that we draw the right line. We need to know what black and white is. We need to know where the line of demarcation is. We need to know what is what. And quit playing around with the things of God. Now I want you to back up into Revelation 13. Amen. Revelation 13, you say, why go backwards? Because I want to prove to you some other things. Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 8. The Bible says this in Revelation 13, 8, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him whose names are not written in the book of life." Now notice some words added to that. "Of the Lamb." "Of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." Now what does this mean? This means this is not only the book of life, but it is the Lamb's book. You got me? Somebody said, "I thought there's a difference between the book of life and the Lamb's book." All right, read on with me. I preached that and looked at that for many, many years. Brother God has a record book to know you're in it. Brother God knows God's got a record book just like the courthouse got a deed book and a record book. I want to tell you, God knows everybody's been born. God knows who's been born today, who'll be born tomorrow, and there'll not be one soul get by Him. He's got a book of remembrance on that. But those that's in the book of life are those who are saved by His grace. And matter of fact, I want to tell you, did you know this? That the phrase, "the Lamb's book of life," is not mentioned but one time in the Bible. And I'm going to give it to you. Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. Revelation 21, 27, "There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or worketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." Only two times you find it referenced, and one of them called the Lamb's book. Brother, I want to tell you something. You can call it what you want to. Think about the books, but there will be the Lamb's book of, there will be the Lamb's book brought open, there'll be the Word of God brought open, and there'll be the deed book brought open of the records of man. Brother, all that, as far as there's anything else open, that's up to God, and I'm not going to speculate. That's enough. Amen. If that ain't enough, brother, you're in trouble sure enough. Brother, God will judge you by His Word, He'll judge you by your works, and He'll judge you by His book. Amen. I'm talking about His remembrance of your life and knowing about where you're in His book or not. Amen. So now let's go on. We want to look at verse 13. I'm going to hurry. I've got a long time to preach on this. I mean, you can preach a long time, but I'm going to cut it short. How about that? The Bible said in verse 13, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works." Now this is the resurrection of damnation. You can call this what you want to. Go with me, please, back to John chapter number 5. John chapter number 5. I want to tell you, a lot of people get this all confused and mixed up here in these little mountains. Amen, of Georgia. And they get to deciding this and that. Brother, I hear them preach this different than what I preach it here. But I want to show you what the Bible says. John said in chapter 5, verse 28, "Marvel not that at this," he said, "marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice." Now this is their key. All that's in the grave will hear His voice. Preacher, do you believe that all that are in the graves will hear His voice? Absolutely. Why do I believe that? Because God said all of them would. Everybody that's ever been died. I don't care if they have burned them at the stake. Amen. They died. And brother, their ashes will be caught up. God knows where they are. Amen. I heard about a fellow one time that fell off of something that's pouring concrete, and tons of concrete went down, buried him. They couldn't get him out, and that's where he stayed. Brother, if he is saved by the grace of God, he'll come out at the rapture, and if he ain't, he'll come out at the great white throne judgment. God knows where he is. The sea will shake loose all the bones. Amen. And the fish just eat the bones and everything. Brother, God knows where the refuse is. He'll put it all together. And there will be a judgment. And there will be a resurrection. Now the Bible said, and there will be all and in the graves. You're going to hear his voice. Verse 29. And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life. Amen. That's the saved. Then he said, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. That's why I call Revelation chapter number 20 and verse number 13 the resurrection of damnation. God said the wicked dead are going to stand before me. They rejected me. They refused me. But they're going to stand before me in judgment. Now God's going to bring them forth. And brother, this is where that judgment is. Now we get to verse 14. He's going to judge them according to the deeds done their body. Amen. He's going to talk according to their works. He says in verse 12 and 13. And then in verse 14, death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. Now I could give you a scripture. You can put it down, read it when you get home. In the book of Matthew, the Bible said that they'll stand before Him in that day. And they'll say, Lord, Lord, have I not cast out devils in Thy name and done many wonderful works and prophesied and so forth? And the Lord God will look them in the eye and say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. So I believe there'll be some that'll try to plead their cause here. But I want to tell you something. You cannot hide from the judge. You cannot hide from the justice. And you cannot hide from the judgment. I told you a while ago. And brother, when God says, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Brother, let me tell you, there's nothing else can be done. I believe right now they won't be a clapping their hands. I don't believe they'll be standing there saying amen. I don't believe they'll be there standing chewing gum and laughing to God in the face. Brother, I want to tell you, I believe this will be the most solemn hour. This will be the most critical hour. This will be the most fearful time that any man's ever faced. When he's facing an almighty God that's on the throne of God and recognizing he's so little and so small and he's so guilty and he's so worthy of being cast into hell. And hell, see, God has got hell out there just for one purpose. It is the prison house of the wicked. Brother, God puts everybody that's lost in hell. That's where they go right now. But I want to give you this in closing. Amen. I wish I just had about an hour on this. Amen. But I want to tell you something. I mean an hour more. Amen. I want to tell you, there's some things we can see. Let's go back and look at this. Brother, the Bible talks about the lake of fire. Hell will be turned. Brother, all hell will be cast into the lake of fire. Amen. There's two different places. Now, the lake of fire is mentioned four times in the Bible. Amen. Somebody said, is that all? That's enough, isn't it? Amen. I want you to turn with me, please, to Revelation. Amen. We're already there. You said, just give me the chapter and the verse. Amen. I will. And I want to talk about this second death first. And he says in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 11, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. What is the second death first? The second death is dying the second time. You and I who are saved by the grace of God, we will die once. Because we've been born twice. Amen. I've been born one time in the flesh. And I've been born one time in the Spirit. Brother, the only time I'm going to die is when this breath leaves this body and this mortal body. Oh, we'll be going to the graveyard. Brother, God one day will give me an immortal body. Amen. To endure and a new body. But see, down on the inside, God has already breathed life into me. And I've got life everlasting now. I'm not going to have everlasting life later. I've already got it. So I won't die the second death. But these folks are going to die the second death according to verse number 15. But in verse 14, he talks about this lake of fire. And also in verse number 15, he talks about this lake of fire. Now turn to chapter 19 of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 19 in verse 20. Sorry for all the scriptures, but you need to get them all. Revelation chapter 19 verse 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. The first mention of the lake of fire is when the false prophet and the beast out of the tribulation hour are going to be cast. And the Bible said they will be cast alive. They'll bypass hell and go to the lake of fire. That's how bad God's judgment is upon them. God said, I'm not even going to allow you to go to hell. I'm going to put you in the lake of fire. And God cast them alive into the lake of fire. And then we find in Revelation chapter number 20 and verse number 10. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 10, the Bible said, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Hey, where's the devil going? God is going to cast the devil, not into hell, but into the lake of fire. Amen. He's laughed about hell for years. He's laughed about the inhabitants of hell for years. He's made jokes about people that are walking up and down in hell trying to be a water boy, so to speak, in this modern time. But I want to tell you, God's going to pick him up one day and cast him into the lake of fire forever. And then the Bible said two more times, out of the four times it's mentioned, that God would take the wicked dead and He would cast them into the lake of fire. Death and hell will give up the dead, and then they'll be cast into the lake of fire. And this would be the second death. Brother, there will be no more life, no more hope. Amen. Mercy is gone. The day of forgiveness is gone. The day of salvation will be gone. The day of mercy will be gone. The day of grace will be gone. The only time you can change that is right now, while you're still drawing a breath of air, while your heart's still beating, while your mind's still a-thinking, while your heart is still there to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, when you stand before the great white throne, this is going to be a terrible, fearful judgment. Amen and amen. Amen. I'm glad I'm not going to the great white throne judgment. Let's bow our heads. They come the instruments. This is one of those messages I feel like and love, that old favorite song of mine, The Invitation. Just as I am, and that's how God wants you. Just as you are. Get that song, I believe it's 81, in the Blue Book. And I want us to stand and sing it. And I've tried to preach my heart out to you this morning. If you're lost and undone without God, my heart goes out to you. I've tried to present to you what the Bible says, not what this preacher thinks. Not what this church actually thinks, but what the Bible says. There is a great white throne. All this morning stand before the great white throne will be judged. There will be no excuses given, or accepted, I should say. There will be no excuses that will get them out of that. They're standing there, and you'll be standing there because you deserve to be there. You've refused God and His Christ. God says to you, depart from me. And brother, eternity sets in for those, and there'll be no end to it. And you'll be tortured. It's hard for you to understand that God said to be cast into outer darkness. But it's going to be a lake of fire that you can't even see. Torture, torment. Just as I am, God says, I want you. Come, you will sing. How about it? How about it this morning? There's a Christ seated at the right hand of the Father that says, come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. There's a Savior that's already paid the price. He went to the grave, and on that third day He arose victorious for your soul. He's saying, I'll take you in. I'll change you. I'll make you a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. I'll make you brand new. If you'll just come to me. He said, hear me. He that hath an ear, let him hear. He's begging, pleading, dealing with you. How about it? How about it? How about it? One more verse. Would you come? God with extended arms is saying, come unto me. All ye labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He said, I'll make you new today, right now. How about it? Thank you.
Let's bow our heads, please. Father, we've tried to preach this morning from the depth of our heart. Lord, we feel today You've spoken to some hearts. Oh, I pray, God, that You'll soften them. Lord, may they hear You. May they hear You. Lord, we remember the time when we was at the same place. Lord, we pushed You to the side. We didn't want any part. But Lord, we remember that day when we did come. And Lord, we hadn't got over it. We hadn't forgotten it. It's been the greatest thing ever happened. Lord, thank You that You put some joy and peace in our heart that we never had before then. And I pray You'd do the same here for those who are not saved. Lord, no doubt. No doubt. Oh God, it burdens our heart and breaks our soul to think of this possibility. There's a possibility that somebody in this building this morning will stand before this judgment bar even after we preached and tried to warn. And our heart's broken. Our soul is troubled. Lord, I pray this morning the grace of God will intervene. And Lord, You'll be there when they give in. Oh God, touch hearts, soften souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.